الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يدخل الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار والذين كفروا يتمتعون ويأكلون كما تأكل الأنعام والنار مثوى لهم صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, when you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the life of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when one studies the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the seerat of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will appreciate the beautiful example there is for every believer, male and female, to follow, and how easy it becomes to practice on the Holy Quran. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were filled with hikmah, wisdom. In fact, he is known as Jawami'ul Kalim, where he would speak just a few words, but the meaning was so profound, full of hikmah, full of wisdom. Oceans of knowledge would pour out from the few words that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we all know, he had so much of concern, so much of fikr for his beloved ummah. As we have heard in the past, on many occasions, that he would make dua for his entire ummah in sajda. And he would perform such lengthy sajdas to the extent that his feet will become swollen. His feet will crack. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the very famous incident when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her one day. Allahumma ghfir li Aisha. مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَمَا أَخَّرَتْ وَمَا أَسَرَّتْ وَمَا أَعْلَنَتْ وَاللَّهُ forgive Sayyidina Aisha all the sins of her past, of the future, whatever sins she did openly, whatever sins she committed in privacy. Ya Allah, forgive all her sins. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha became overjoyed. She was taken aback with ecstasy. Ya Rasulullah, what a beautiful dua that all my sins may be forgiven. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to her and said, "Oh Aisha, you are so excited. I make this dua for my entire ummah every day. In fact, after every namaz I make dua for my entire ummah. So much of concern. Therefore, you will find a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a lot of fikr." My brothers, if you only understand the Arabic words, the cry that is coming out from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest, then we'll appreciate what advice he has for us. And he's not only worried and concerned about the people of his era and his zamana. No. But right till the day of Qiyamah. Therefore, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages not only the Sahaba ikram, but every single ummati of his. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala reports his hadith, which mentioned in Muslim Sharif. بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ فِتَنًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, hasten, rush, hurry, speed up, and make it fast. With what? With أَعْمَالِ صَالِحَةً. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us, is crying out to us, that, oh my ummah, hasten with good أَعْمَال, with أَعْمَالِ صَالِحَةً. Before such fitnas come upon you, before such trials and such tribulations come before you, كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُسْلِمِ, like dark portions of a very dark night. Some of us who have traveled in a very dark, foggy night, very misty, We cannot even travel easily. If a person is all alone, he becomes very afraid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining that these fitnas that will come will be extremely dark, like dark portions of a night, one after the other. A person will not know in which direction he is traveling. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. In the morning the person will be a believer, he'll have iman, but by the time it is evening, he'll be a kafir. In the night a person will sleep with iman, he'll have, or in the night a person will be a believer, but by the time it is fajr, he's already a kafir. Reason being, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِأَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. He will sell his iman, he will sell his deen, in exchange of a few pennies of this world. My brothers and elders, food for thought. Ponder and reflect. He will sell his iman for the sake of a few extra pennies. Hazrat Zubair bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala an, he comes to Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala is a very great sahabi. A very lengthy incident regarding him, how Rasulullah made so much of dua and for barakat for him, that when other sahaba radiallahu ta'ala would get fruit once a year, his orchards would bear fruit twice a year. So many children he had that he buried even his grandchildren or great grandchildren with his own hands. Such a long lifespan full of barakat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed him. He made khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 solid years. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, my brothers understand this point. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, when he left this world, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala was only 20 years old. So 10 years of his youth, he spent in the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Zubair bin Adir, rahmatullahi alayhi, comes to Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Anas, he says, we are complaining to you about Hajjaj bin Yusuf the tyrant. So many ulama he has killed. So much of zulam and so much of oppression, we cannot take it any longer. We cannot bear these hardships any longer. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, Isbiru, make sabr, do not worry. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْكَ زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ. He says, I take a qasam in Allah. Make sabr now. Because there is no zamana, there is no era, there is no period, but that the period that comes after it is worse, it is more severe than the one before it. حَتَّى تَلْقَوْ رَبَّكُمْ. Until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When was this? Time of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Or the time of Tabi'een. We hear in the khutbah, Khairul Quruni Qarni. Rasulullah s.a.w. says, the best zamana is my zamana. Thumma alladhina yalunahum. Then the one next to it. Then the one next to it. My brothers, how far are we away from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We are experiencing more and more fitnas. Therefore, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, Isbiru, make sabr. Because that a time will come which will be more severe than the time before it. My beloved brothers and elders, this hadith I was explaining to you, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages all of us to hasten, to rush with good amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Muhammad in the 26th para, in the second quarter of the 26th para, the second page of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that verily, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدْخِلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Allah will enter those who have iman and amal saliha. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very firmly, very strongly. And those who do good deeds. Allah promises in the Quran, not only in this para, not only in this ayah, throughout the Holy Quran. But I have chosen this ayah for a specific reason. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most certainly will enter the believers, those who have iman and those who have amal saliha, in those beautiful gardens of paradise beneath which rivers flow. And thereafter, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah explains to us a salient feature or an evil characteristic of a kafir. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The kuffar you will find, يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ. Their whole life is only in making merry and having pleasure and entertainment, khel or kood. Nothing else. They have no object in life. They have no direction in life. The only thing they are bothered about is the merriments and enjoying the sensual pleasures of this world. ويأكلون. The entire day they're eating and drinking. How? كما تأكل الأنعام. Like how animals eat and drink. They have no adab in them. No manners, no etiquettes. Which kafir you see who say Bismillah and take the name of Allah and eat his food? Our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us Mubarak, beautiful sunnah. That we should wash our hands before eating. How we should eat. What food we should eat. How we should share with others our food. So many beautiful sunnahs in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The kuffar, ya'kulun. They eat as they please. In fact, like how animals eat. وَالنَّارُ مَثْوَى لَهُمْ. And they abode. Their final result, their final home, their final position is none other than Jahannam. So my beloved brothers and elders, in another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where again he's using the very same words, badiru, which means hasten, rush, hurry. Badiru bil a'mali sab'an. Hasten with good deeds before seven things. Because once the seven things come into existence, a person will become disabled. A person won't have the ability. A person will become so weak, so helpless. He will become dependent, he will become muhtaj. هَلْ تَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned these seven things in a question form. He says, are you waiting for that poverty that will make you unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? From this we understand that now, when a person has the resources, when a person has some wealth, then he should spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend it in good causes of deen. There are thousands and millions of poor people. There are many people in the world. There are people right on our doorstep who require that food, who require that assistance. My brothers and elders, if we are not going to assist them, if we are not going to knock on their door, remember, others have already knocked on their door. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَن يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that it is quite possible and quite close that poverty leads a person to kufr. We have seen so many times a family who is so poor, they have no allowance, they have not got a sufficient amount of funds, sufficient amount of food to feed their family. They've got no money to pay the rent, to pay the lights. No Muslim brother and sister has a tawfiq of seeing those people, assisting those people. What happens after some time? When they are starving, my brothers and elders, and then when the knock comes on the door, and when the door is open, they see hampers of food, a nice handout, a nice check in their hand to pay the rent, to pay the light bill. And so happily and readily they accept all this. And what happens? Who are these people? None other than Christian missionaries. And then these people accept those hampers and they become murtads. They leave the fold of Islam. My brothers and elders, this is no fairy tale. This is happening in our own vicinities. There are so many widows. The only time we will come to know about these widows if we go and find out. There are so many people who require our assistance. It is sad to say. And this has been said on so many occasions. We squander so much of wealth. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes we cannot even fathom that an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could do such things. Such lavish festivals. Such lavish functions. Just for a simple nikah. Very easily a person can say, this is my wealth. My brothers and elders, yes, it is your wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that wealth. And Allah is going to test you through that wealth. We have got sahaba kiram in front of us. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was not a poor sahabi. He was extremely wealthy. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala on certain expeditions, he wouldn't just give one camel in the path of Allah, but thousands of camels. Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, so wealthy he was. One sahabi when he passed away, and when they calculated his inheritance, my brothers, I promise you, if you have a calculator, you can not even calculate that. So much of wealth he left. But never you find in the time of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala that the wealth led them to becoming arrogant and proud of themselves. They used their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and themselves, they had very simple lives. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the second part of the hadith, he says, غِنًا مُضْغِيَا. Are you waiting for that richness? You are waiting to become so wealthy that will make you a rebellion. It will make you transgress against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, when a person says, no, I will wait to have more and more money. And what will happen in the interim? He will become greedy. He will not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments. And gradually he will drift away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has mentioned the story of Qarun. Inna Qaruna kana min qawmi Musa, in the 20th para. Verse number 176, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us how Qarun, he transgressed, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was so proud. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with so much of money, so much of wealth. لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ. That just to carry the keys to his treasures, to his tijoris, just to carry the keys was so heavy that it required an entire jamaat, entire group of very strong people to carry just the keys of the tijori of Qarun. Can you imagine how much of wealth he had when he was told to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All the wealth you have, it belongs to Allah. It is not of your own accord. He says, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ هِنْدِي. This wealth I have, it is because of my know-how, my intelligence, my knowledge, my effort. What happened? فَخَصَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Allah destroyed him. Allah sunk him into this earth. Himself, his wealth, his possessions, his home, his entire belongings. So my beloved brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us not forget, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us to do good amal before seven things make us helpless. The first one, if we become so poor that we become neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second, a person becomes so wealthy that now again he also becomes transgressant and he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O maradam mufsida, or a person suffers such a disease that leads to his death. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that we should appreciate our good health. Whilst we are healthy, whilst we have that health and strength, then we should do good amali saliha. Because a time may dawn upon us when we become helpless, we become so sick that eventually the sickness, that ailment leads to our death, and we do not have the chance then to do good amal. In fact, this reminds me of another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he mentioned, appreciate five things before five things. And amongst that, he mentioned, your good health before your sickness. One poet, very nicely, he mentioned, فَلَا تُرْجِ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرِ لِيَوْمٍ إِلَىٰ غَدٍ. Do not procrastinate. Do not delay with good actions. If there is something good that you want to do, do not say, I'll do it tomorrow or the next day. Why? لَعَلَّ غَدًا يَأْتِي. Perhaps tomorrow might come. Or in fact, tomorrow will come. وَأَنْتَ فَقِيدُ. But you might not be around. Tomorrow will come definitely. But you will not be around. Moth will already have overtaken you. So before moth comes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, now when you have that strength, when you have that health, then spend it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, one hadith that I can recall in Riyadu Salihin, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who is constant and who is regular in his amal, for example, every day he performs tahajjud salah, or every day he gives some charity, if he is constant, if he is regular in his amal, then when he is sick and he is unable to do the good deeds, then because he is regular in his amal salihah, then even though he is sick, he will still be rewarded for that action. On the other hand, if a person is not doing any good deeds, then when he is going to become sick, then he's not going to get any reward. Therefore, inculcate in ourselves amal salihah. A little by little, every day, if you take one good action, it's impossible to do amal salihah, all good actions suddenly on one particular day. No, my brothers, every day if you take one sunnah or one good action and try and implement it, or one action, one sunnah per week, inshallah, over a period of time, so many sunnahs we'll have in our life, so many good actions we'll have in our life. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that are you waiting for a sudden death? How often we said, yesterday I spoke to him. We had meals together. I just spoke to him 5 minutes ago. There was nothing wrong with him also. He had no disease, no ailments, no problems. I can't believe that he has passed away. Nothing was wrong with him. My brothers, we see today especially. The person leaves home in the morning, nothing was wrong with him. Suddenly we find that he passed away. So before maut comes, suddenly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that prepare and do those good deeds. One poet said, he said, Ibn Adam, oh man, remember the day when you were born, إِذَا وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ وَأَنْتَ بَاكِيًا, and you were crying. When the child is born, the child is obviously crying. وَالنَّاسُ حَوْلَكَ يَضْحَكُونَ سُرُورًا, and the people around you, the mother of the child, the grandparents, the father, the brothers, the sisters, all are so jovial, so excited. They all are laughing, they all are shouting, they are all so excited. وَالنَّاسُ حَوْلَكَ يَضْحَكُونَ سُرُورًا. Now the poet says, فَعْمَلْ لِيَوْمٍ, and now prepare for that day, يَوْمِ مَوْتِك, the day when you will leave this world. إِذَا بَكَوْ, when those same people who are laughing and so happy and smiling when you were born, now they will be crying. But what must be your condition? You must be surura. You must be happy to meet your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When will a person be happy to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When his bank balance is in order. When he has the currency of the akhirah. When he has good amal as-saliha. So my beloved brothers and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also emphasized, shababak, qabla haramik, your youth, before you become old. In this hadith I was mentioning those 7 things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that before you become so old that you become senile, you don't even know what you are talking, you become so muhtaj, so dependent on the people of your family. Allahu Akbar. You cannot even go to the toilet to relieve yourself. Somebody has to hold your hand. Somebody has to feed you. Somebody has to give you a bath. A simple thing has to be explained to you 1,000 times. My brothers and elders, just a point for us to, as an advice. Those people who have elderly people in our families, our parents or grandparents, this is the time to make the khidmah. How often, Allahu Akbar, today we find that those same people who once cared and had so much of concern for us, today when they are old and they become senile and they do not know what they are talking and they become so dependent, then we begin to make some funny remarks about them. Nobody wants to care about them. We just wait when the old man can kick the bucket. Remember, the nizam of Allah is such, you are born, before you are born you are weak, just a drop of sperm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you into this world, you are a young child, you depend on your father, your parents, and then you grow up into a young healthy child, young and a strong man, and then you have responsibilities, you are strong, then you have strength, suddenly you feel, mashallah, I am very strong, I can do everything, I am independent. After some time, as age catches up with you, you become older and older, and then you become so old where you require the assistance of others. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, before this time comes upon you, do good deeds now when you have that youth. When you look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an, my beloved brothers and elders, food for thought for myself, for all of us, especially the youth. Holidays have begun, and you and I know exactly what happens during the holiday period. Somehow there is some type of extra freedom, some type of azadi. Every person now just becomes sort of loose. People become wild. My beloved brothers and elders, something for us to think about. We are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every day we hear about our young, little children, masoom children in Palestine, how they are being massacred to death. The pain that goes through us. We curse the Yahud and we curse America. My brothers and elders, but in our own home, we haven't taken out that Yahudiyat, that Nasraniyat. We haven't taken out that America from our own lives. Brothers, we can put our head down and we can ignore this topic. I cannot understand how we can send our youngsters, that young little girl, our own blood, on a Saturday night to a rave. What happens there, Allahu Akbar, my beloved brothers and elders? Only after the damage is done, only when zina is committed, only when she falls pregnant, only when she takes drugs, then we run to the Mawlana for some ta'weez, for some assistance. The ball is in our court, my beloved brothers and elders. We have heard so many bayans. Now is the time to stand up and practice upon the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us not be mistaken. And let us not be deceived by shaitan. Let us not advise our children and tell them, no, it's okay, you can do this now. We also did the same thing when we were young. What guarantee we have that they are going to change their lives? What guarantee we have that they are going to die with iman? What guarantee we have that we are going to die with iman? My beloved brothers and elders, especially in the holiday period, mashallah, there are many youngsters who have changed their lives tremendously. They are tahajjud guzar. They go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great opportunity now to send your youngsters in jamaat, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will sit in a good environment. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find the time of sahaba, it's young sahabi, 12 years old, 13 years old, he is standing on his toes. Why? So that he may be selected by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight in the battle of Badr or to fight in the battle of Uhud, so that he may sacrifice his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Usaid radiallahu ta'ala is turned away by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are too young, my boy. You cannot fight now. That child begins to cry. Fabaka, he cries. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feels pity for him. And he permits him, okay, you can go and fight. We find that Usaid radiallahu ta'ala becomes shaheed. Rafi bin Khadij radiallahu ta'ala, he is rejected by Rasulullah sallallahu. No, you cannot fight, you are too young. But when he finds that Rasulullah sallallahu permits Hazrat Samura bin Jundub radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Rasulullah, Samura bin Jundub is taking part, you have not allowed me, yet when we wrestle, I can overthrow him in one shot. Rasulullah says, is that so? Okay, wrestle in front of me. And Hazrat Rafi bin Khadij radiallahu ta'ala, one wrestle, and he throws him over. So Rasulullah permits both of them to fight in the path of Allah. Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, in the battle of Badr, he is standing in the front line. He looks on his right, he looks on his left, he sees two youngsters. Hazrat Mu'az bin Mu'awiz, he says to himself, how I wish I had two strong people next to me. In case of emergency of wilds, I mean attacked, and these people can assist me. But these two are young boys. How are they going to assist me? He says, before I could even think anything else, these two youngsters ask, Ya'am, oh my uncle, show us who's Abu Jahaliya. Who's an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We want to kill him. And he points out Abu Jahal to them. Within a few seconds, one youngster goes, he chops off the leg of the horse of Abu Jahal. Abu Jahal falls, the other youngster strikes him. And with the aid of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, they strike off and chop off the head of Abu Jahal. This was the fervor. This was the jazba of the youngsters, the shabab, the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was another very interesting story in the time of the past, but because we have no time now, where a youngster, his intelligence, and because of his iman, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his entire people, and they all brought iman, inshallah, on some other occasion we'll discuss this. But these seven things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that before your youth, before your old age, appreciate your youth. Otherwise, when you become senile, then you'll not be able to do those good actions. You'll become helpless, you'll become weak. And amongst the seven things Rasulullah ﷺ mentions, are we Dajjal? Are you waiting for Dajjal to come? فَشَرُّ غَائِبٍ يُنْتَزَرُ. The worst thing that can ever be awaited is the appearance of an emergence of Dajjal. Rasulullah ﷺ once mentioned, he says that, مَا مِن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا قَدْ أَنذَرَ أُمَّتَهُ الْأَعْوَرَ الْكَذَّابِ. He says, every Nabi that came into this world warned their people about that blind liar who is going to come. And that is Dajjal. And then Rasulullah mentioned, emphasizing a point, he says, Dajjal is awar. He is blind. His eyes are defective. He cannot see. In one hadith it is mentioned that Dajjal's left eye will be completely blind. He will not be able to see at all. In fact, he will not have an eye. His eye will be completely flattened. And the right eye will be like the shape of a grape, protruding, bulging out. Very ugly looking he will be. It is mentioned in the hadith, he will be young, have extremely curly hair. But maktubun bayna yadayhi, bayna aynayhi, on his forehead, between his eyes will be written, kafara. kufar or kafir, which the believers, they will recognize and they will see. My beloved brothers and elders, Dajjal, the fitna of Dajjal in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, there is no fitna in this entire world which is more azam, more ashad, more severe than the fitna of Dajjal. A very lengthy subject. I'm just touching on the subject because it is mentioned in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Time is already exhausted. But my beloved brothers and elders, Rasulullah said, recite Surah Kahf. Recite Surah Kahf every Friday. Memorize the beginning verses of Surah Kahf or the last few verses of Surah Kahf. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed you protection from Dajjal. Make it a habit, my beloved brothers and elders. Enforce it in our homes, amongst our children, amongst our families, amongst our women. Rasulullah says, well, if you happen to meet Dajjal, then recite Surah Kahf. Dajjal will have a mountain of food, of bread. But we should not become deceived by that. He will have a garden, but in reality that garden will be fire. He'll have fire, in reality that fire will be a garden. There are so many aspects. He will come into this world for 40 days. The first day will be equivalent to 1 year. The second day equivalent to 1 month. The third day equivalent to 1 week. And thereafter, every day will be like the normal days of this world. My beloved brothers and elders, it is mentioned that 70,000 Yahud will follow him. And the very few first followers of Dajjal will be the women folk. Only two places will be protected. It is mentioned in hadith, every single piece of ground Dajjal will traverse upon, except Makkah and Medina. That's why Rasulullah ﷺ, one day he became so overjoyed, he summoned the Sahaba quickly, "Ya, oh my Sahaba, come." It was after Zuhar. He said, "Today there is no Qailullah for me, no siesta for me. I cannot take a short nap because I'm so thrilled." There was a story of Tamim Dari who had met Dajjal before he accepted Islam. But the point I want to get across is, he says that Dajjal will never enter Makkah and Medina. There will be Malaika standing there who will chase Dajjal away. Finally, we know Dajjal will be killed by Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Nobody will be able to kill Dajjal except Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in Babilut in Palestine, We can see exactly what's happening in the Middle East now. My beloved brothers and elders, let us not wait for Dajjal to come. And the last part is, do not wait for Qiyamah. Qiyamah is very bitter, very sour. It's something that will destroy a person. Every person will be destroyed on the day of Qiyamah. So before all these events occur, let us change our lives. Let us bring in our life amal salihah. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give us barakat in this world and in the akhirah. Allah will save our progeny. Allah will save our youth. Allah will save our elders. Allah will save our lives and protect our iman. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.